Holy and ever-living God, you have named us as your beloved children. Move within our hearts so we will bend down low enough to see the children in our midst and care for them as a part of our family. Amen. If you're new or you didn't attend last week or you don't read any of the church communications, you need to know that in 3 short weeks on October 14th, we will be celebrating our 140th anniversary with a Eucharist at the Old Church, located less than a mile down the road from here. You need to know that I'm very excited about that fact. Sometimes I get so excited by that fact that I pull out a copy of our parish history, available on the narthex for free, or I take a look at old vestry minutes just to get a taste of what Good Shepherd was like back then. Here's a small snippet of Good Shepherd's past that deals with a good part of my responsibility here, the youth programs, and also thus relates to the subject of our gospel. Here's the snippet, vestry minutes of yore, I quote, "The rector reported that we will have no youth group since there was not sufficient interest evidenced. The problem seems to be that the young people simply do not have, internal quotes, enough time. Therefore, if the need does not exist, we should not artificially, quote, pump it up." What an interesting window into the past. The year of that particular report, 1964. Before I share another snippet of what happened in 1965, let's recall something, so a few other things. Remember the Church of the Good Shepherd still worshipped in the cozy worship space up the road. Suburbanization was just beginning. There were not 3 large high schools triangulating the area. The Church of the Good Shepherd had not yet even been admitted to the diocese as a full voting parish. You get the sense from reading the vestry minutes that the congregation had their hands full. They saw the astonishing growth coming in the area, but throughout the 1960s, they were consumed by familiar arguments that consume all vestries and church leaders: building maintenance, increasing the pledge base, and the all-important topic of purchasing a new plot of land and a new building that, of course, will soon take place, the building that we worship in this morning. So all of that was swirling around. Those were the arguments that were going on as the vestry issued that depressing report on the status of the youth group in 1964. In our gospel reading, the disciples were having a different argument, much less flattering. They were arguing about who would be the greatest, who would be in Jesus' cabinet when Jesus presided in heaven, who would be vice president, secretary of state, secretary of defense. Jesus wasn't having any of it. He raises a child in the midst and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." A couple of important clarifications of time and place. In the ancient world, children did not have the innate value attached to them as they do today. Jesus is not elevating children because he sees them as innocent or angelic or cute. That would have been foreign to that context. But rather, he's elevating them because they're vulnerable, disadvantaged, and dispossessed. Recall that most of the stories in the gospel about children, the children are diseased, bleeding, and disabled. Recall the famous words of St. Paul: "When I was a child, I spoke like a child." That's not a positive endorsement of children's viewpoint. So Jesus is not talking about the inherent value of the child, but the inherent value of everyone, including and especially children. What a lesson and a countercultural way of looking at the world for the disciples and for us. Back to our vestry minutes. I detect in that description the youth simply didn't have enough time a note of a blanket criticism, that there was something innately wrong with that generation. Some you were indeed young people at that time, and maybe you remember such a sweeping judgment landing on you and your peers. What were you doing? What was distracting you from coming to church? How did you get out of church? What was it like to be critiqued and judged solely for being located in a chronological age cohort? Every decade or so, Time magazine publishes a cover with an article declaring that this generation of young people represents an anomaly, an aberration, and a threat to the natural order. Technology is the usual culprit. It's ironic, because usually technology is promising to solve all our problems. Time magazine published such covers with baby boomers, with Generation X, with Generation Y, Z, and it has done so with frightful frequency with millennials. I detect in those vestry minutes a similar type of sweeping judgment. I also sometimes detected in our culture, and closer to home, a similar judgment applied to our youth today. It's a wrong estimation. The youth of this generation are great. The youth of that generation were great. The Who released a song, a famous song in 1965, entitled, "The Kids Are All Right." They were right then, and they're right now. The youth in this parish are fantastic, every single one of them. It's my job to say that for sure, but I've seen it with my own eyes. These are all important reminders as we think about our birthday, our 140th celebration. 1965, 1 year after the pessimistic take on the youth group at Good Shepherd, a spaghetti dinner was held for the youth, November 21st, 1965. 30 young persons showed up. I have no idea why. What changed in that year? Probably just had a dinner and people came to it. The vestry minutes go on to report that both the junior and senior youth group were functioning well, with about 12 youth in each. Here are some highlights for that year. Apparently a South African Episcopal minister, Anglican minister, visited and talked with the group, after which the youth desired to have a bake sale to benefit his congregation in South Africa. During this time period, the youth group would also receive as visitors an African-American Episcopal clergy person, and separately, a parishioner who was an FBI agent visited the youth group and talked to them. I wonder what they talked about in 1965. Fascinating. Vestry minutes are by nature pretty dry. They don't give up much, but I think one conclusion can be made. The kids are all right. The programs might seem fragile and vulnerable, needing support and constant attention. But that seems to be Jesus' point about children as well. Importantly, Jesus does not talk about all children, children in general. He does not gesture to the nursery or say we need to find our inner child. He holds up one child and says, "Welcome this child." Children are not a symbol. They don't represent something in the future. They're here, right now. You don't need to imagine what they will be when they grow up. Consider them in the flesh and blood. I'm so excited about our 140th birthday celebration. So excited about the youth programs that we have going on here at Good Shepherd. I'm excited because I feel like we as a congregation are attempting to follow that model found in our gospel. I see it in our adult volunteers, the support of the vestry, and in the energy employed in so many programs at Good Shepherd. I'm reminded by our gospel today and by the witness of history, though, not to be romantic or idealistic about it. I don't think Jesus was being either of those. Reminded, though, to simply be committed, to be constant and attentive and focused. To remember when after the birthday energy fades, and maybe when one is disappointed or let down by what is going on in one of our programs, that we are raising up not only our children in our midst, but Jesus himself. Amen.